Let me take you back a few months to the election in November of 2018. Remember Florida? More recounts, and in the end, the Democrats in both of the big races, governor and senator, lost. Andrew Gillum lost to now governor Ron DeSantis. Bill Nelson lost to now senator Rick Scott. But one Democrat won her race statewide in Florida. Nikki Fried is now the Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services. She's the only Democrat in statewide office in Florida, and she joins us now from Tallahassee. Welcome.
Thank you for having me on.
And I want to talk to you about a lot of things that fall under your new job, but I want to first start with marijuana, because you were a lobbyist for the marijuana industry. The state of Florida just expanded access to medical marijuana, made it possible for people who need medical marijuana to use it in a smokable form. How big of a deal was that?
Tremendous. What had happened, we had a constitutional amendment that passed in 2016, and there were 71% of our Floridians who voted for the constitutional amendment. And the legislature came in, and they created a very structured, regulated system, including banning smoking. And so I've been a huge advocate for the state to allow patients to be smoking medical marijuana. And the reason why I've been such a big advocate of this is I've seen firsthand patients from all across our country, all across the state, who are suffering some horrible conditions. And allowing them opportunities to have the purest of form of this medicine is life-saving and altering for so many of our patients who can't have tinctures or other types of vaporizers, which add different types of chemicals and things into the products, that a lot of patients need this pure form of their medicine in order to help them relieve any of their conditions. So this was a huge win for the patients in the state of Florida.
You also just named a director of cannabis in Florida. What are you hoping to still achieve on that front?
So this person is going to be twofold. One is to show a continued advocacy on behalf of the patients, making sure that we are looking at different ways to get information out to our patients, figuring out all the things that are getting wrong with the current process and current structure, and getting some recommendations to the legislature next year. So we're creating advisory committees of patients, of doctors, of license holders, of pharmacists, to kind of give recommendations of moving the ball forward when it comes to expansion of medical marijuana. The other thing that Holly Bell is her name, comes to us from the banking industry. Mm-hmm. And so she has extensive banking background and had been working with a lot of the medical marijuana providers across the country to work on banking. Because I've said, in my campaign, my own personal campaign account had been shut down because I was an advocate for expansion of medical marijuana, as well as receiving campaign donations from some of the members of the industry. So I firsthand have experienced what it means to not have a regulated marketplace for the industry. And so banking is one component of it that Holly brings to the table. And we also are advocating for not just access, but affordable access, which means getting insurance companies to start covering medical marijuana as part of the copays and a part of their annuals.
But is there anything that you can do on the banking issue if marijuana is still illegal at the federal level?
Well, one, I spent a lot, I was in D.C. last week advocating for the state's rights bill that is passing, that's in the Senate and as well as in the House, as well as a financial regulation bill that came through marked up on the House last Wednesday. But also here in the state of Florida, we have an Office of Financial Regulations, and that new regulator is somebody that's appointed by the cabinet. So our new financial regulator is going to be working with our state chartered banks and trying to make sure that there is a path forward for them if they so choose to take the risk. Because you're right, it is still federally illegal, and they still are under FDIC. And so, but yet, a lot of them are willing to get into this market. And so we need to make sure that our state is open for business for when it comes to these companies and these banks that actually want to work here.
Do you think that it's time for Florida to make pot legal recreationally?
I think that there is definitely a path forward. As you've just seen the polls from, from 4 years ago to today, that it is becoming something of yesterday's debate, and that we really are moving the ball forward. And we have a huge epidemic in opiates. We've heard from both of our governor and our attorney general that this is a priority, that we're losing 17 people a day on opiates. And a lot of the reasons we can get people off of them is giving them another alternative, such as medical marijuana, or in some instances, full legalization. And this way, we have another option for individuals who are suffering from chronic pain or from injuries, and give them a way to get off of the opiates.
Does the new Republican governor, Ron DeSantis, agree with you about that?
You know, he and I have actually not had that conversation. I know that he, too, sees the benefits of medical marijuana. He was, you know, he put that mandate on the legislature that they had to fix the smoking issue by March 15th.
I want to ask you about some other issues. The state of Florida had a terrible incident of red tide last year for more than a year, I believe. The coasts along the Gulf Coast of Florida, beaches were closed, a lot of sea life killed. Some point to agricultural runoff as a contributor. What do you see as the causes of red tide, or is there anything that you can do about the problem?
You know, so red tide, as I, you know, is one of the worst that we've seen throughout the state last year. And it really was a double whammy that we saw the red tide come through, and we also had huge discharges from Lake Okeechobee and some blue-green algae from Lake O. And when the two clashed together, created the extensive marine life deaths that we saw and erosion of our beaches. I mean, I was out there a lot during the campaign trail and talking to so many of our fishermen that have, you know, that's decades of, you know, generations of being out on the waterways and having, you know, no business, having no charters, which has a direct impact on the local economy. It was a $70 million hit to our local economy last year because of the red tide. So as I said, you know, as I went through and I continue to say today that we got to work on the science. What is actually the causing of the red tide? Where is it coming from? And make sure that everybody has a seat at the table.
And you don't think we know what the cause is yet?
It's a combination. We know that it's obviously nutrient runoffs, but exactly what pinpointing. I think everybody's got a piece of the puzzle that needs to be brought to the table. So between some of the agriculture, but also a lot of the development. You know, we've seen an increased amount of development across our state in the last couple of decades. And that is definitely a contributing factor. You know, more people means more pollution. And so we also have seen an increase in the amount of septic tanks that are right on our waterways. That needs to be converted over. And so this is not a one-fix solution. This is going to be something. This has been man-made. We want to make this better. It is imperative that we fix this. Because if not, we are not going to have a state for my niece and my nephew and the children of the next generation. You know, people think of the state of Florida, they think of a few things. They think of our citrus, they think of our beaches, and they think of the little mouse in Orlando. And we need to make sure that we're all working together so tourists continue to come into our state and that we continue to thrive as an economic boost for the southern part of our country.
I want to ask you about the Everglades, another beautiful part of the state of Florida and a part of the state of Florida that's also facing some environmental challenges. There's a court decision that recently approved a plan by Cantor Real Estate to drill an exploratory well on some land it owns in the Everglades, despite opposition from the Department of Environmental Protection and from local officials. You called this court case infuriating. What do you think is going to happen, and will the Everglades be drilled?
You know, you're right. My comment was, this is infuriating. This waterway is a livelihood of our entire state. You know, 7 million people in South Florida live and die off of what comes out of Lake Okeechobee and to the Everglades area. If we start getting drilling done into that community, and God forbid that there's a spill, we are not only, you know, jeopardizing all of the ecosystem of that area, all of the natural life that's in, around the Everglades, but also the people that are relying on this. So DEP has a few more months to actually appeal this decision. I passed a proclamation and signed a proclamation urging my colleagues in the legislature to ban all types of drilling and fracking inside of the Everglades. This is, you know, to have a little bit of oil that can potentially coming out of the Everglades versus a type of damage that could cause that is not reversible is something that needs to be at the forefront of every Floridian's minds, and to make sure this is a cohesive voice on that this is not acceptable. And if nothing else but peer pressure on this company, that this is not what's in the right interest and the best step forward for the state of Florida.
You are the state's highest-ranking Democrat. The state's governor is a Republican, as is the Speaker of the House, the Senate president, and now the two senators representing Florida in Washington. First of all, why do you think you were able to win a statewide race last time around when Andrew Gillum and Bill Nelson were not?
the way I've seen it is that we talked about issues that transcended party affiliations. You know, I talked about water quality like we just discussed and the Everglades and the red tide and the green algae coming out of Lake O. We talked about those and how to preserve our environment and natural resources. I talked about our concealed weapons permit and protecting our citizens. My predecessor allowed for 13 months background checks to not be done for the concealed weapons program. So again, this is not something that's a partisan issue. This is for the public safety. And then I talked about the expansion of medical marijuana. Again, marijuana passed in the Constitution by 71%. That's not a partisan issue. And coming from South Florida, I'm a Miami girl, lived for 10 years in Broward County, a 15-year practicing attorney. I talked about issues that impacted people's lives in South Florida as well, in some of our urban communities. And so made citizens, as they were voting, say, oh, Department of Agriculture, the Commissioner of Agriculture actually is something that I need to pay attention to, member of the Florida Cabinet, dealing with clemency issues and voter restoration rights. And so I think that when people woke up and realized that it was not just agriculture, it impacts people's lives every single day, I think it allowed South Florida, it gave South Florida a reason to vote for Commissioner of Agriculture, which again is in my backyard, which I think gave me the extra 6,753 votes that put me over the top.
Are you going to endorse on the Democratic side for president?
I would imagine that as we get a little bit closer to the primary season and to our vote here in Florida, I will engage. So don't count us out. Make sure that you spend a lot of time in Florida because we are, in fact, purple.
That is Nikki Fried, who is Florida's Commissioner of Agriculture, a Democrat, the only statewide Democrat there in Florida. Thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you for having me today.